Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Caster, along with TJ Cleland, in for Jacob Albrock today. Max Power producing the program. You can join us at any time. Max has got the KFH hotline fired up and ready to go at 869-1240. You can also leave us your video comments on all the different ways that you can consume the show on Facebook, YouTube, on X, also on the 12 News Connected app. Leave your video messages right there. We'll get to them throughout the show. You can also leave us a voice comment on the free Odyssey app. All you have to do is click the little microphone button, leave us a voicemail. We can play that back for you on the air. It's a Friday edition of the show. A lot to get to on the program. In our next hour, Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, will join us to break down what the heck is going on with the Kansas City Royals right now after they get swept by the Yankees. They get shut out last night. Final score 1-0 in the finale of that series at Kauffman Stadium. We'll dive into all of that throughout the program, but also talk to Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, in hour number two. We've also got a preview of the NBA Finals Game 4 between the Thunder and the Pacers. We'll continue to follow the U.S. Open and a whole lot more here on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. TJ, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I can't believe that you're burying the lead here. When are we going to get into the fact that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were at the Stanley Cup Finals last night?
They were. I kind of wondered how many times the camera would be on them compared to the actual, you know, hockey game. Yeah. I know that happens in football. Like whenever Taylor shows up to a Chiefs game, like that's the main story, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that, I mean, the gamblers were on them quite a bit during that game last night.
They were. I'd like to think that that wasn't Travis's doing to go watch that hockey game. I'd like to think that Taylor's a big NHL girl and drug Travis over there. So he's got voluntary OTAs today. Did he fly back in town? Maybe that's the hot headline.
Probably. She strikes me as a hockey fan.
I can see it.
I mean, she's tough enough that, yeah, you know, she could probably lay a guy out, you know, check him right up against the boards.
Yeah, I could see it.
I could see that happening. How you doing this morning? Happy Friday.
I'm doing all right. You know, as I said last time, you know, we did a bunch of these shows during Christmas time. I know you and Jacob were taking time off with the family and everything like that. It's a lot different waking up and driving to the station whenever the sun is out.
It is.
It is a completely different feeling. Whenever you do these in December, it is pitch black outside. So it kind of feels like it's not before 7 a.m. when I'm driving, which helps. So
yeah, that's definitely a big benefit. I know, like, the first morning that I got up and I drove here and I had to put sunglasses on, I'm like, let's roll the windows down. Let's enjoy this beautiful morning, and then we'll pay for it in January when the sun doesn't come up until much later. You've been following U.S. Open?
I have. Yesterday, turned it on too late to apparently miss J.J. Spahn making like 17 20-foot putts or something there at Oakmont. So I know we're going to dig really deep into that. It's crazy watching this Oakmont round. I like watching the videos of the non-professionals. I watch the Barstool Golf out at Oakmont just to try to gauge what somebody like us would shoot, and I'm sure we'll dive really deep into that.
Did you see?
I'm not going to bury the lead here.
I watched the Grant Horvat Bryan brothers as they basically what they did was they tried to score within the cut line the last time the tournament was at the U.S. Open, and there were three of them, and none of them did it. Even Wesley Bryan, who's played on the PGA Tour, I think he's won on the PGA Tour. He was like plus 12 through two rounds.
Yeah.
It's brutal out there.
It is nuts. Yeah. It's completely, I don't know. There's definitely different stances. I've argued with a bunch of people about the way that, the perfect golf storm to watch, what's the most entertaining and everything like that. So, we'll definitely dive deep into that. I got a lot of thoughts.
Jacob and I talked about it yesterday, that it might be the first U.S. Open for either one of us in quite a while that we've been able to kind of lock into.
Exactly, I know.
Because it's not opposite of the Wichita Open. Mm-hmm. Typically, we would be at the Wichita Open right now. The Wichita Open is next week as opposed to this week, so able to kind of get dialed in, locked into what's actually happening out at Oakmont this weekend. It's funny, when we went off the air yesterday, J.J. Spahn, I think, was in the lead even early yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And Jacob was like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I'm like, you don't know J.J. Spahn? Like, come on. Like, you do have to be way into the PGA Tour to know who J.J. Spahn is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I've definitely, the past four, I think, I've been at the Wichita Open, and I know that they usually do a pretty good job. They when you sit in that media room, they have a projector with the scoreboard for the Wichita Open, then they bring in a TV on the rolly cart, and you watch the U.S. Open on that TV. So, consume a lot of golf typically this weekend, so now we're going to get back-to-back consuming golf weekends, and I can't wait for the Wichita Open. You ever bet on the Wichita Open? It's a freaking blast.
I've never bet on it.
Oh my gosh, it's fun. You can only do it pre-round one, so you have to get them in, but it is crazy to sit there and just watch and just say, I have money on this guy standing 5 feet in front of me.
Is it just for winner?
Yeah, like, they do like top five, okay. Top 10. Same way you bet. You just can't do the birdie count or anything like that. Right, but you can bet the leaderboard.
We were talking also yesterday on the program that, you know, you mentioned the amateur golfers that go and play the venues like they're doing at Oakmont. We should do that for the Wichita Open next year.
We should
go and do that. Could you get a KWCH camera crew to follow us and play around and have it set up the way that the Wichita Open is set up? We have to play from the tips.
Yeah.
They put the pins in those positions.
You played in the Pro-Am last year, didn't you?
I did.
Did
but
you
I mean,
tip
it's,
out?
It's, no, I didn't tip out. It's a Pro-Am. Like, it's basically a scramble. Yeah. It's not the same thing. But that'd be fun to do before the Wichita Open. Because, you know, that's a big deal now. Like, amateur golfers, like these influencers are going out and playing these major championship courses, and they're just getting their lunch eight.
Yeah, I used to be a Part 107 drone certified pilot. I need to renew, but I could bring the drone out there.
That'd be cool.
It'd be just like a good video. We'd be good.
Be like the Wichita version of that. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be called Bad, though.
It'd be very bad, very bad. I would imagine it probably wouldn't go particularly well. That's everything coming up on tap here today on the program. What's on tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. We really appreciate Wichita Brewing Company coming in and being a big part of Sports Daily moving forward as the What's on Tap sponsor. And there is a lot on tap as the show progresses. We've also got some opportunities for you to win some great prizes. We've got some HTO. We'll tell you about how you can win that. And also, speaking of golf and Crestview, we're giving you an opportunity to go play a round for two with Cart at Crestview. This giveaway, TJ, has gone bananas.
I imagine.
I'm not sure we've had another giveaway on this program, on this radio station, that has had the number of entries and the interest level quite like this. And we're doing it every single week in the month of June. every Friday. So today's the day we're going to draw a winner. We drew a winner last week, and I believe the guy's name is Brandon that won a round for two with Card out at Crestview. We will draw another winner later on today as well. So a little bit later on in the program, we'll let you know exactly how you can get your entries in before we do our week number two drawing, and we're doing it every single week. Here in the month of June out at Crestview. Of course, next week we'll be out at the Wichita Open Broadcasting Live, and you're going to be joining us for one of those mornings. You'll be there. We're going to do an entire 4 hours live, both Thursday and Friday, the opening two rounds of the Wichita Open, and I don't remember which day you're joining us.
Friday.
Okay, so next Friday you'll be with us for an entire 4 hours.
I will be. Man, I can't wait. Just digging into the deep storylines of golfers that, you know, 90% of the people in Wichita don't know who they are, but they're going to know by the end of it. I'm pumped. I'm going to be there all 4 days doing coverage in some way, shape, or form. So it's going to be a big weekend of golf. And no kidding, this is probably the most popular one. I want to submit myself, but I was told I can't do it.
You know, I think that the biggest thing with the Wichita Open is that, you know, it becomes such a huge spectacle in Wichita. You've got people that don't even care about golf that are coming out and enjoying it. So we'll get more into that over the next week or so. And like I mentioned before, tell you how you can win a round for two plus cart out at Crestview a little bit later on in the program. We are just getting underway here on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. On the other side, we'll dive into the Royals, try to diagnose what the heck is going on with them, getting swept by the Yankees. That and a whole bunch more on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. Max Power producing, TJ Cleland to my right. I'm Tommy Caster. We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, Max Power producing the program. Royals baseball tonight on KFH. The A's are in town this weekend taking on the Royals. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 7 o'clock for the Royals and Athletics. Or listen online at kfhradio.com or download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. The Royals have to have a short memory, TJ, getting swept by the Yankees in a three-game set. They turn around and start their series against the Athletics tonight at Kauffman Stadium to try to salvage this homestand. Not only did they lose three games to the Yankees, I think to an extent, I think the Royals were exposed a little bit as a team that, you know, is not a postseason caliber team like we maybe thought they were. Yeah. Not saying they can't make the postseason, but it was pretty clear and on display how much better the New York Yankees are than the Kansas City Royals in this three-game series.
Yeah, it's kind of exactly what I was going to say, is that, you know, they've had their flaws, but when you play the highest payroll in baseball and one of the best teams in baseball, it magnifies everything that you do wrong. It magnifies the fact of, you know, your pitching was able to carry you to a lot of wins, but when are you pitching good enough to face the best offense in the league, face one of the best hitters in the history of baseball, the clip that Aaron Judge is on right now. And then with the offensive struggles, you know, obviously we've seen it multiple times, but to, you know, put up five hits, no runs yesterday, we're a broken record talking about it at this point, and I feel like we're going stir crazy because nothing's changed.
Yeah, it was another outing where the pitching was let down for the Royals. Seth Lugo pitched 5 2/3, only gave up two hits. He walked three, but it was another stellar outing from a Royal starter after two games with Noah Cameron and Chris Bubich where they were hit hard by the Yankees offense. Seth Lugo held down New York's lineup. I know Aaron Judge was not in the lineup last night for the Yankees, but still, that's a pretty stacked lineup for the Yankees. And Seth Lugo, and by that matter also, the bullpen, all the pitchers for the Royals pitched really, really well. In fact, the one run for the Yankees was an unearned run. But the Royals could not get anything going with their offense. And Jacob and I had this conversation yesterday, and it actually got heated for a while in this discussion back and forth yesterday, because I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the Royals offense has not changed at all. It's not improved at all outside of the first three games against the Cardinals when Jack Caglione got called up, and you had all the excitement, all the pomp and circumstance for him and his debut. After that, the Royals offense as a whole, collectively, just went right back to where they have been basically all season long. They were outscored by the Yankees 17-5 in this three-game set. That ain't going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. That's not a playoff-caliber team. Now, you might have had really good pitching from Seth Lugo in the bullpen, but when you've held down your opponents, and I don't care who they are, if they're the Rockies or the Yankees, if you're holding them down and pitching shutout baseball and the one run comes unearned and you can't get a single run across, and keep in mind, too, this was the third game in a three-game set. The Royals needed this to avoid the sweep, and that didn't even matter.
Yeah, it's unreal because we've had this conversation for 2 months now. Jacob brought up a stat yesterday that I believe last month the Royals averaged like 2.8 runs per game. And if you say that and you give me the Royals scoring three runs a game, they would have won 10 more games probably.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how unreal bad. Like, they were only averaged three runs a game because they'd score 10 randomly, sporadically. That's how, like, you know, hit or miss this offense has been, and it's the same thing right now. I don't know. Like, you brought up the postseason. Like, right now, I was talking to Jacob about it yesterday. I've been talking to a bunch of people that if they don't turn around what's going on right now, even with the wins that they're getting in these series, like, I don't think they're a playoff team, especially when you look at their division. So I would go as far as to say, you know, they're below 500 after last night's loss, that if it's getting closer to trade deadline and they're a below 500 team by, you know, multiple games, I think that they're going to sell.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question because I'm not sure I've fallen to that camp quite yet. I certainly don't think with the way that they're playing right now that they need to go all in and buying.
Yeah.
But I almost think that, at least as of now, I mean, if the trade deadline was today, I think J.J. Piccolo just stands pat. I don't think he makes any changes. And that may not. I think it would have to take either a tremendous streak that they go on in a positive way,
yeah,
or they lose a bunch of games between now and the trade deadline and things fall off a cliff for them to go either direction. But as it stands right now, you're playing like a mediocre at best ball club collectively, holistically. I just don't think that you're in a position to buy or sell right now. I think that, you know, you just basically hold firm. I mean, yeah, like, you'd love to have another bat in the lineup. You'd love to have another four bats in the lineup. You'd probably love to have bullpen reinforcements. Where things got heated between Jacob and I yesterday was he gave the thought that maybe the Royals need to prioritize starting pitching. I'm like, no, they don't. It was one bad outing from Noah Cameron, one bad outing from Chris Bubich. But Seth Lugo showed, last night, why this rotation overall, as a whole, is the strongest part of their entire team. So I don't think you're prioritizing that if you're going to go be a buyer at all at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I do agree with the fact that, you know, to think that the starting pitching can carry you to anything, it's not true. Like, the clip that they went on, you think about the winning streak and how just unbelievable the Royals were in that stretch in late April, early May, whenever that was, because there was seven shutouts in a 14-game span. Like, it's unfathomable to think about what that pitching staff did, and it's not attainable to keep doing. It's kind of the same thing. Like, last year, the Royals were winning so many games with, like, two runners left on. Like, they were just unreal at hitting with runners in scoring position. Now this year, it's obviously completely different.
Yeah.
So just what they're doing isn't attainable to continue success whenever they've had their success.
Well, shoot, we talked about that stat yesterday, too. I believe that in 2024, they had like a .282 batting average with runners in scoring position. It was like second best in the league.
Yeah.
Their average with runners in scoring position, I think, is like .211 right now.
Abysmal. Yeah.
It's dropped 70 percentage points from one season to the next. They went from one of the most clutch teams in Major League Baseball a season ago, and that's why they made the playoffs, to one of the most unclutch teams. Actually, maybe the most unclutch team in Major League Baseball. Here's the other thing, too, TJ. I can understand on Tuesday night you losing a game to Max Fried. Right, I've been a Max Fried fan ever since he came up with Atlanta. He's a dominant pitcher. He's got filthy stuff. I can understand being held down by him. Not a knock on these other two guys, but you took on Clark Schmidt and Will Warren, and they shut you out. I cannot reconcile that. I cannot wrap my head around that.
Yeah, like, I honestly, at this point, like, I don't know what you do as an offense. You know, we've talked about, you know, the bringing up Cags, and, you know, he's kind of struggled so far, but, you know, whatever, he's 22. Do you go get a corner outfield bat? Like, what do you do? There's nothing you can do at the trade deadline to fix, like, a systemic problem here. Like, I don't know what the problem is of why they can't score runners. Even the games that they'll put up 11 hits, they just can't hit with runners in scoring position. So I'm sure there's some bad luck that goes into this. I'm sure there's some maybe like some bad approach things. But I don't know. What do you do? Like, I'm honestly at a loss at this point.
I have dangled this scenario out a couple of different times. It's been a minute. It's probably been, I don't know, 3 weeks. It probably goes back to when the Royals had that stretch of games where they were basically just getting shut out. You know, when was that? Like mid-May when that was going on? Was probably the last time that I dangled this name out there. But a guy by the name of Alec Zumwalt is the hitting coach for this team. You got to shake something up at this point. I don't know the inner workings of the way that, you know, the hitting coach works with the players and exactly, you know, what his responsibilities are, how much of the fault falls on his shoulders and all of that. But you almost need a fall guy at this point, right? You almost need somebody to fall on their sword. And You never want to advocate for somebody to lose their job, but at this point right now, I mean, again, you scored 5 runs in 3 games yep. against the New York Yankees, against a team that you faced in the playoffs a year ago, yep. against a team that going into this season, you felt like you could go up against again in the playoffs. With that sweep, with that loss last night, the Royals are now under 500. And the momentum that they had has been completely squandered.
Yep.
I don't know how much like the firing of a hitting coach can exactly. spark things and turn things around, but you've tried to call up your stud. That's one thing you've done. You've moved players individually that have not performed up to standards. MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, Kevin Biggio.
Yep.
They've moved those guys. They've been willing to do that sort of thing. What's the next step? I mean, I think it's probably you need to make a change at hitting coach.
Yeah, that's what you'd think. But even the weirdest part of it is, which is just such a baseball thing, is that they have, I mean, their lineup consists of 6 good hitters. And, like, they all have, you know, semi-decent stats at the plate. They just are so untimely of when they get these hits. Like Jack Caglione has, I think he's got, like, 9 hits so far and 2 RBIs. Like, that's just kind of the epitome yeah. of what Royals baseball has been so far. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly think, like, I don't know. As trade deadline approaches, you know, if Chris Bubich can keep up what he's doing, like, I have really no problem trading Chris Bubich for something. Like,
really?
I would trade Chris Bubich. I know that, you know, Noah Cameron has been floated around to be got a trade bait thing just because they've got so much starting pitching. So, I don't know. I mean, they're paying Reagans and Lugo and Waka. You know, Bubich right now is not on the payroll for what he should be the way that he's pitching. If he can keep this up, you know, people are going to, and he's still relatively young. So I'd say that you could get something nice for Chris Bubich. So if they're not going to be in a spot, if they're still in fourth place and the Central in a couple games below 500, you know, it's not going to do any good to have a stellar pitching staff to try to climb out of a, you know, 6 game hole to try to make the 3rd wild card spot. And then you're not even, you know, technically in the you're in the playoffs, but you're not in the playoffs if you have the 3rd wild card spot, in my opinion. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to take on a team that, you know, is maybe middle of the road in the American League and, you know, see what that series looks like. And you can be frustrated by it. But when you're taking on a team like the Yankees and you know you're never going to have the payroll that they do, but you also feel like you can compete with them or you should be competing with them from top to bottom. And they smack you around. And they've smacked the Royals around in recent history. That was 8 consecutive games that the Yankees have beat the Royals.
That's crazy.
8 consecutive games. The other thing that I think that is incredibly concerning, and we'll talk to Jalen Thompson about this too in our second hour, the Royals have lost 11 of their last 14 home games.
That's crazy.
They're not winning at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
You need to win at Kauffman Stadium, and they're not able to do that. And I think that's almost as concerning as anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just no way to pin what you want to do with this, so I don't know. I was at the K on Tuesday. I watched Caglione's debut. I was up there covering that with Jalen Thompson. I don't know what his average is at right now. What's your level of concern with Caglione? We're still talking about the Royals.
Yeah, it's nothing. Like, it's a 0. You know, they brought him up for a reason. I think now you give him the longest leash imaginable. Because the worst thing the Royals can do is to start to get impatient with him through a week and a half in the bigs. And then you start messing with him and you get in his head. And you could really screw up a kid's development that way. And that was the risk of bringing him up early. That was the risk of bringing him to the big leagues. I think he'll be fine as long as he's kind of left alone.
Yeah.
But I remember on this program, when he was called up, I remember saying very specifically, Royals fans, you can be excited about Caglione, but he also is not going to cure what ails this team. Mm-hmm. He is one guy in the lineup. And he's what? How old is the guy?
22?
He's 22 years old, and he's played in the major leagues for a week and a half.
Yep.
He is not going to be the white knight riding in on his horse to save the day. Outside of Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, I'm not sure that there's an individual player out there that can turn around a fortune of a team like that. And that's not Jack Caglione right now.
Yeah, I agree.
That's okay. That's perfectly okay. The worst thing that can happen is when, you know, if they start to put undue pressure on his shoulders, or he starts pressing, or he starts, you know, not doing, not being natural, like all of that.
Yeah.
So my level of concern is nothing. I feel like he needs the longest leash possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely think he needs to play every day. I think he needs to play in the outfield every day and just, you know, continue his development at the big league, just do what he was doing in AAA. But, you know, the hard part about this is I know that J.J. Piccolo was very adamant that he didn't want to call him up for a team that was struggling for this reason. Right. You know, he wanted to call up a guy that would be on a good team that wouldn't have to bear any load of any sort and just go do his thing while the team didn't really need him. And unfortunately, that's just not the case right now. And so I think that the pressure, you know, unconsciously has gone towards him to do something. Obviously, whatever he did, it still wouldn't be enough for the recent struggles. So I think that Caglione may be pressing himself a little bit, which he would never say and nobody else would ever say. But, you know, like the final at bat last night, you know, did you watch the final at bat last night? Yeah. I mean, he took a 95 mile an hour fastball down the middle because he was just, it honestly seemed like he was surprised that he got a fastball.
Right.
Which I don't blame
surprised
him.
Surprised that he got something to hit.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Like, he gets so many changeups and sliders and everything because nobody wants to throw him a high fastball. And he got it, took it, strike three, game over. Like, I feel like he's just kind of got the pinwheels in his mind spinning way too fast right now. And he just needs, he needs to get the first home run to get out of the way so he can stop thinking. Because I, like, right now is the probably the lowest batting average that he's hit maybe in his life. Like, that's the craziest part about that.
Did they have Joel Goldberg up in right field the entire game too? Like, every time Cags went up to bat? I know that the players don't care about the broadcast, like, whatever. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Like, if you want to talk about pressure, you want to talk about just like this team is losing games and they're getting embarrassed by the Yankees. You don't need a guy perched out in right field every time Cags goes to bat, hoping that he gets his first major league home run. That's not the priority.
Yeah. I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, like, even there on Tuesday night, I was going live after the game, you know, needed some like locker room and everything like that, and it's just like, you know, what do you talk about, you know, because like Caglione is the excitement of this team, and you know, he went 1-for-4, but it's like there's so much other disappointment going on that, you know, it just feels like it's the shiny toy that's just kind of like thrown in with the rest right now. And I don't know, he needs to get the first home run. The Royals need to win a series again. I guess they won the Cardinal series, but need to win a home series, I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, they do. It's been a very disappointing week for the Royals when they had, you know, the opportunity to sort of, I think, solidify themselves as a potential postseason team in the American League. But as of right now, they are 10.5 games out of first place in the AL Central, and they're 2 games back of third place.
That's the worst part about this is the fact that they're not out of the wild card chase yet, but they're behind 3 teams in their own division that they're going to play 100 more times. So it's like everything is magnified by that, and the fact that, you know, they're not chasing the Tampa Bay Rays and stuff like that. Like, if they get in, they play the Twins in the playoffs, and they probably are going to lose 60 of 100 to the Twins the way that things are going. So it's like, even if they make the playoffs right now, with the way that their division is, I mean, they need to be second place in the division to be a real shot at doing something in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, the you can look at it glass half full or glass half empty. They play a lot of divisional opponents from here on out, and so you can either get out of it really quickly or you can get yourself right back in very quickly, like that, because of the inner division matchups and everything that they've got coming up. But it starts this weekend with the Athletics, or it continues this weekend with the Athletics. At least you can maybe view this as a little bit of a palate cleanser, hopefully, fingers crossed, after the juggernaut of the Yankees. You take on an Athletics team that, I mean, what should the expectation be? 2-3? Should you, or I mean, obviously a sweep, so you can get out of the homestand even. But, I mean, should that be the expectation, to win 2-3? Or, I mean, I don't know.
If the Royals lose this series and need to sell back the Asperia campus they bought for the new ballpark, don't build a new ballpark if you can't win the series against the Oakland Athletics.
Absolutely. Let's get you a U.S. Open update here. So J.J. Spahn is the clubhouse leader right now at 4-under. He won't tee off for his second round until a little bit later this morning. Brooks Koepka is 1-under, and he is 3-under overall. So 1-under on his day, 3-under overall, and 1 shot back from J.J. Spahn. He is on his 5th hole right now, so 1-under through 5. Thristan Lawrence, who played yesterday evening, Yesterday morning, he's 3-under as well. He'll tee off this afternoon, so he's also one back from JJ Spahn. Some other notable names on the leaderboard: John Rahm is even par. He is underway in his second round, 1 over in his second round. So is Victor Hovland. So is Colin Morikawa. And then you've got to go down a little bit further on down through the list to find some more notable guys that, of course, we follow pretty closely. Scottie Scheffler is 2 over. He's 1 under so far on his second round. Jordan Spieth is 2 over par as well. It looks like as of right now, the projected cut line is 4 over par, and that could move as the day goes on. But there are a bunch of notable players that you know, a lot of people know of that at least are outside of that cut line here early on day number two. So it's going to be a challenge and a battle out there.
Let me tell you, Sam Stevens, 1-stroke lead on Scottie Scheffler right now.
I love that. I love that. Wichita native Sam Stevens in the field. He had a pretty good start to his day yesterday, kind of faltered a little bit,
you know, backwards. Down the stretch. Kind of, he hit some bogeys on the front, right, and then he birdied.
Then he birdied on the way, in. But he is inside the projected cut line right now to play the weekend, which would be fantastic. And then Gary Woodland, that's who I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Gary Woodland started off phenomenal yesterday, and he struggled down the stretch. I think he shot a 41 on the back nine yesterday afternoon, and that sort of took him out of the mix, at least early on in the tournament. So we'll see a couple of our local guys in the mix and, you know, trying to play for the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. A ton of fun. You know, you and I were talking about this earlier, just the way that Oakmont set up everything like that. They're saying it's the hardest golf course of all time, potentially, in U.S. Open history. What's your take on Oakmont? You think you like it whenever it's like this? What do you think?
I do. I mean, I think that that's what we've come to expect from the U.S. Open. Extremely difficult venues. Really challenging golf. The way they set the golf course up makes it really hard. And I know that there are critics out there that say, we don't want to watch players have to hack out of ankle deep rough or calf deep rough and make triple bogeys. And, you know, but I like it because we see these guys put on dazzling performances week in and week out on the PGA Tour and shoot crazy scores under par and things like that. It's nice for 1 week for it to be an extremely difficult test. It should be. It's major championship golf. You can't really do a whole lot to Augusta. Mm-hmm. Like, Augusta is Augusta. They're not going to, you know, give you calf-deep rough at Augusta. The PGA Championship, historically, is usually slightly easier than the other championship venues. You got to have, like, a really, really tough test in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it's fair. It's definitely a different pace of everything. You know, I definitely understand the argument of, I'd say myself, I'd much rather watch Scottie do what he did at the Byron Nelson and 31 under or something like that. I think that's the best.
You'd rather watch that?
I think so. I that's the best part of professional golf is just seeing just how unbelievable they can play. And so, like, here, I mean, JJ Spahn played unbelievably yesterday. And, like, in relative to, you know, other tournaments, it's the same because he shot at 66 and, you know, we've seen guys go below, like, break 60. Obviously, a crazy run from him yesterday. It is a ton of fun to get to watch just, like, how tough this is once you see somebody really implode on a hole, because that'll show you how impressive everybody else is. So, yeah, there's definitely give and take. I think it's cool to have it one time a year, but I don't know. I go back and forth on it, I think.
I also think it's a beautiful golf course.
It is sweet.
With the church pew bunkers and all of that, man, it is. Oakmont is not only super difficult, but it's also beautiful. And that's the thing, too, is that I think it'd be different if the golf course wasn't aesthetically pleasing and it was super difficult. But it's not. Like, you kind of have to appreciate the fact that, no, like, Oakmont was built to be very difficult with really super narrow fairways and greens that, like, you could easily 4-putt on, you know, or 5-putt on if you aren't careful. I like that kind of setup. And I wouldn't want them to play Oakmont every single year for the U.S. Open. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But every 8 or 9, 10 years, whatever, whenever they come back to Oakmont, I'm like, all right, it's about time.
It's about
time for them to get their butts kicked a little bit.
It is crazy to think about a sport where there's so much history and so much, you know, statistical keeping and everything like that, about legacy and everything like that, that and it's just golf. I'm not complaining about anything here. But the fact that you can go from playing a really easy track to play in Oakmont, and it's like, wow, Scottie Scheffler won this one with a 1 under, like, and then this guy won one with a 15 under. It's like, what happened that year? And, like, you know, so it's just kind of crazy, the parity between the courses you can have year to year and stuff like that. So I don't know. Next question I have for you.
Yeah.
we were talking about this. What would you shoot there? First, what would you shoot if you played the championship tips at Oakmont? And then two, what would you shoot playing the whites? How confident are you in your game?
Not enough to
if I was
do
playing
anything
the,
at
if I was playing the tips, I think I'd probably shoot like a 155.
I mean, I think that's probably fair for you. I think if I played the tips at Oakmont, I would be fortunate to get out of there with a 120.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking as. And then I think if you played the whites, like I think I could have a chance to break like a 110. You'd be breaking like a 95, shooting a 90.
I don't know about that. I think if I played from the whites at Oakmont, I would be fortunate to break 100.
Yeah.
It's probably like 105. I bet I would shoot 105
thinking,
from the
this
whites
is, this is
and
my
125
thinking,
from the tips.
Is that it's not far off to just try to double bogey every hole. Even if you put your drives in the rough, you just punch out and then just hit a good approach
shot.
Yeah,
but there's a 300-yard par 3.
Yeah, those are tough.
The par 5s are like 650 yards.
That
like,
is a good point. I haven't factored that part in, I guess.
Yeah, like they are long, long courses.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Long
holes. I like picking on Jacob. I asked him, I said, hey, you know the 280-yard par 3, what club you hitting there? He said, I'd take my driver and I'd lay up.
Yeah, so I know a guy, and I'm not going to share his name, but this was years ago out at Crestview. He got a hole in one of the par threes with his driver. It was into the wind, and it probably was the hole. It was like 185 or 190. It was probably playing 210, 215 into the wind, and he took driver. And I always wondered, like, when you tell people you made a hole in one, do you tell them that you hit driver, or do you just say, "Oh, I hit a hole in one," and hope they don't ask?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. So. Yeah. Yeah, crazy week of golf. Going to be a ton of fun the way the leaderboard's shaping up. You know, you think about the fact that Brooks Koepka is one off the lead right now. Like, that's a name we haven't seen really competing for majors. You think about Ben Griffin and what he's done recently. John Rahm back in the top 10. Scottie Scheffler within striking distance. Like, this is going to be like a big name finish, it feels like.
Well, we just heard from our winner of the giveaway in the first week for Crestview. Brandon left a comment on our video stream, said, wanted to chime in and thank Sports Daily and Crestview for the round of golf. You'll catch me out there, David Hasselhoffing, and in the drop zone, but it'll be a good time.
What does that mean?
He's playing from the sand. He's in the sand. He's David Hasselhoffing.
David, all right. I've heard that one before.
So I love that. Brandon, hope you enjoy the round, and we appreciate you entering. You've got your chance to win that giveaway. We're going to do another drawing later this afternoon, so you can text the keyword golf, G-O-L-F, to 20357 for your chance to win a free round of golf for two plus cart out at Crestview Country Club. And of course, we always appreciate Crestview being a supporter of the program. We're going to get into the NBA Finals in our second hour. Before we take our final break of hour number one here, TJ, we got to mention this briefly. The whole Antonio Brown situation that came down last night is wild. The more I read about it, the more it makes sense because Antonio Brown is a maniac. But if you missed the news, he is being sought after for an attempted murder charge from an altercation that happened at a boxing event a month ago. Is that right?
I have no idea. Something. I know it had something to do with like a stream too. Like there's tons of video of the altercation happening. And so I don't know. It's crazy. I literally like my jaw was dropped. I was sitting in my car after I got off work last night and that ESPN notification popped up. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Like, he's wanted for, like, how many pro athletes have been wanted for murder? Like, that's an unbelievable headline.
Yeah, not a lot of them, I would imagine. The warrant that's out for his arrest right now shows a charge of attempted murder with a firearm, and it instructs Brown to post a $10,000 bond and remain on house arrest until trial. Yeah, I remember when the whole boxing event happened and he was detained because he put out a statement saying that he got jumped and people were trying to steal his jewelry and things like that. And now it sounds like, at least allegedly, maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff. And to think, like, everybody talked about Antonio Brown and how crazy he is on Twitter and on social media and just walking off the field in this final, like, everything has gone just so awry for that dude. Like, how good he used to be. Like, he was unbelievable as a player. Like, it was nuts watching Antonio Brown play. And now it's this, and it's just nobody's even going to remember how good of a player he was.
I mean, I certainly think, and maybe, I don't know if you agree with this or not, I think that through the first, 5 years he was in the NFL, like, he was on pace to probably be a Hall of Famer in the way that, I mean, he was so talented, and he was putting up the stats, and, like, he was the best wide receiver in the game. and then just totally went off the rails.
Yeah. Rick wanted to remind us of O.J. Simpson, little-known running back that was wanted for murder.
I'd forgotten about that.
I did.
No, yeah, you can't forget about that. there are a few, Ray Lewis,
yeah,
right? Like, there's there are a ones. Handful of players in professional sports that have been accused of murder before. Antonio Brown can now add his name to he didn't kill anybody. It was attempted murder. I mean, I want to make that very clear. He didn't murder anybody.
We're going to get sued.
Yeah, it's attempted murder. But at least as of now, from what I'm reading from ESPN, they still don't have him. Like, he's not in custody. Yeah. So they're seeking to find him.
That's the craziest part of the story, is that there's a manhunt for a former wide receiver All-Pro.
They're looking for Antonio. I shouldn't laugh and make light of this, but man, that guy just fell off a cliff, and he is bizarre. If you follow him on social media, on X, he is all over the place.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Clearly, there are some issues there. That came down last night, Antonio Brown being sought for attempted murder. I certainly didn't have that on my bingo card for a Friday, that's for sure. That's going to wrap up hour number one here on Sports Daily. On the other side, we'll get into the NBA Finals. We'll also talk to our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, about what ails the Royals right now. We'll do that in our second hour. Stick around. It's Sports Daily. We're coming right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland in for Jacob Albrock. Max Power producing the program. Hour number two is underway. You can join the show. Call the KFH hotline at 869-1240. Max is manning that hotline throughout the entire morning if you'd like to chime in on anything we've been talking about here on this Friday edition of the show. You can also leave your video comments, like so many have this morning, on our YouTube, our Facebook, our X. We're also simulcasting on 12 News Connected, so you can join the show in that way as well. Don't forget, if you miss any of this program, like for example, if you can't hang around for the Jalen Thompson interview later on this hour to talk about the Royals, you can always go back and listen on the free Odyssey app to the podcasted version of the program as well. While you're on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message. Click the microphone button right by the KFH logo there on the Odyssey app, and you can leave us a voicemail. We can play those back on the air and discuss those as well. So multiple ways to join the program here on Sports Daily. I don't know if you knew this about me, TJ, but I also have denied the Knicks permission to interview me for their head coaching job.
Yeah.
So I wanted to add my name to that list as well.
Smart.
There have been so many people that have been denied permission to talk to the Knicks about their head coaching job. I just wanted on the record, I have also
they
denied.
Called,
they called me.
They
I
called
said,
Tony.
They called Tony.
You.
Tony denied it. Tony said, hey, you can't talk to him. You can't interview him. What a mess that's become.
It is crazy. And it just shows, you know, there's been such an argument in NBA basketball, and I'm a Suns fan, so I've seen it too, because the Suns have gone through four coaches in 4 years now. The grass just all – sometimes it's just not going to be greener. And, like, this is the perfect example of firing Tibbs without a plan.
Yeah.
Like, what do you – like, you've got to have a something in the chamber if you're going to pull the trigger.
I mean, clearly the plan has been, hey, we would like another existing coach that's currently coaching a team in the NBA right now. There are 29 other teams, and we're going to go ask all of them for their coach. I mean, come on.
Like,
what are we doing here?
They're going to end up with a coach like – I don't know. Thibodeau was probably a top, what a fill in the blank, whatever number you want to put there, coach in the NBA. Like, if you fire a coach like that, like you're going to downgrade. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was a Suns fan, and then they fired Monty Williams the year after going to the finals, and then, you know, turned out that he got fired by the Pistons too. That was the whole thing. But, like, it's just, I don't know. A lot of these teams do it. You know, you think about the LeBron teams that have done that in the past of firing coaches, and it's like an epidemic in the NBA. It's the same way that we talk about hitting coaches in the MLB. You know, it's the same. Like, something's got to give, and you got to fire coaches all the time if they don't meet expectations. But sometimes that, like, in the Knicks case, like, obviously you want to say, like, we need a coach that can take us over the hump and win a finals. And it's like, this is as close as you've been in decades, or at least a decade.
You're right, in decades.
So, I don't know. You just got to think about windows more than winning the finals. Like, you just got to get close enough, and because there's luck involved in this stuff too.
On paper, like at first glance, I don't have a major issue with them moving on from Tibbs. They clearly felt like, all right, he took us as far as he's going to be able to take us, and that we need to have another coach to get us over the hump to win a final. But you have to have a plan. You like if you're going to let him go, you need to have a well thought out, here is what we're going to do moving forward, and we feel very strongly that this will get us to where we need to be. They clearly don't have that. Like, it seems incredibly short-sighted to fire Tom Thibodeau and then get rebuffed by everybody that you have talked to or wanted to talk to about the job.
Yeah.
Why not just keep Tom Thibodeau then if you don't have a well-thought-out plan?
I agree. They're approaching this like they're a college. Because, like, in college, you can get away with saying, okay, Bill Self retired. We're going to go after Todd Golden because we're KU and you'll want to come coach for us. In the NBA, like, they called the Oklahoma City coach who's in the finals right now. Like, you're not going to be swayed, and these organizations don't have to let you interview.
At this point, they're probably going to call Rick Carlisle, too.
I mean, they're going to call everybody.
The Pacers knocked him out. Call up the Pacers, hey, can we talk to Rick Carlisle? Like, that's not a plan.
Yeah.
That is just throwing crap at the wall to see what sticks. And this is why the Knicks have been the laughingstock of the NBA for two and a half decades at this point. Because they, even when they have some success, they just can't get it all right.
Yep. They're just, I don't know. It's good for the league when they're good. And like this year they were good and it was awesome. And then just the fact of, you know, front office decisions. I think there's a lot of, NBA's got the most drama of every league depending on front office decisions, the way that they handle a lot of stuff. And so I think there's a little piece of that of like just, I think that there was a piece of just saying like, hey, this isn't good enough for our fans. And it's like,
what are you doing? Doesn't make any sense. Do you think there's any legitimacy to the rumors that a guy by the name of John Calipari may have some interest in that job?
That'd be crazy if that was true. I don't think John Calipari is going to leave Arkansas. I think he's going to retire there. But I definitely think it's going to be a college coach the way that this is shaping up. I don't know who it's going to be. Dan Hurley's already said no. Maybe they'll call Bill Self.
Yeah, Jay Wright's already said no. He's going to stay retired. You know, Calipari was asked about it, I think at some banquet or gathering or something. And his quote was that the Knicks job is a hell of a job. So, John Calipari speak, who knows what that means. But I've always thought, like, if he can leverage that into a good amount of money, and it's the New York Knicks, which he probably can leverage it into a good amount of money, why not? Why not leave Arkansas and just go give that another try? His last stint in the NBA didn't work out. He's got another opportunity to get back in the league and see if he can maybe make this second one stick.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun if it was John Calipari. That'd be just to think about the way that college basketball is. Like, we haven't seen a coach make that jump since it's completely changed. I don't know who the last college coach that jumped up was.
Was it Billy Donovan? Was he the last
probably
one?
Probably was. So that's what I'm saying. Like, since the sport has completely changed at the college level and it's completely different, it'd be interesting to see because it's a lot more NBA-esque now. So I think it could be something.
I think the most recent one that fell apart and was a disaster was John Beilein. When he left Michigan to go to the Cavs, that was an absolute abject disaster.
Yeah.
Like, that did not work at all. And there are so many examples of college coaches going to the NBA and it doesn't work. Calipari is one of those examples.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino is an example. Lon Kruger is an example. There are a lot of them out there, which is probably why, after all these years, Bill Self has never made that jump.
I know. I think that he's been pretty – I mean, he's talked about that in the past, too. I know the Spurs have been heavily involved. I know Tyler Self worked for the Spurs.
I would have thought the Thunder would have been a team to go after him with his Oklahoma ties. Obviously, he's from there. And he's got all the close relationships with the Spurs. I think there's a reason for that. I mean, like, coaches can quickly hurt their legacy.
I think that Bill Self knows that that messing with Happy can sometimes just mess everything up. And it's happened to coaches before, as you said. So I think that
Fred Hoiberg is an example of a coach that it didn't work in the NBA and he ended up going back to college. Yeah. I mean, probably the last one, probably the main one, is Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
And even then, I mean, has Billy Donovan been an elite NBA head coach? I don't know if I would go that far. He's been okay.
Yeah.
He was another name, by the way, that the Knicks wanted to talk to, and the Bulls said, yeah, no, we're not going to let you in to talk to our guy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with that. So, but speaking of the NBA Finals, I don't know. Changing over to that, do you think the Pacers were going to get that game the other day? I think I said on this program last Monday that it was going to be Thunder and four. So I've eaten those already.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been – I think the Pacers have shown why they belong in this NBA Finals for sure. I still believe, and we'll get into more of this in our next segment, but I still believe that the Thunder are a more talented team than the Pacers are, mm-hmm. but the Pacers are executing better. They're doing what they do. They're hanging around in games, and then they're closing it out, and the Thunder are unable to do that. I think the pressure 100% in game four is on the shoulders of the Thunder. They cannot afford to fall down three games to one against a team like the Pacers. They just can't do that. Now, if they do fall down three games to one, is it conceivable that the Thunder can win three in a row? Sure. But it, man, with the way that the Pacers have been clutch, that's a pretty difficult ask.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, because I remember talking to Jacob on the show, is that everybody liked the Thunder so much because they worked so well as a unit. Like, they weren't the classic super team where they had two guys running the show. Like, they were so good at making all five guys work together on the court.
It's kind of the Pacers, too, right? That's what the Pacers do.
And now the Pacers are outplaying them at their own game, is what I'm saying. So that's the craziest part of what they've done so well. And the fact that, I mean, the Thunder only lost 14 games in the regular season. The fact that the Pacers are getting to them like this is really interesting. And, you know, Rick Carlisle has a lot to do with that. You know, it's something that Jacob and I were talking about at work yesterday. So it's a great team. And, like, on paper, it doesn't make sense why they're this good. But they're really, really – they're really good at just staying in the game and then finding a way. Yeah, like, that's their bread and butter.
That's the recipe. If they can hang around, if they can be within striking distance, and that could even mean, what, a 15-point deficit in the fourth quarter? If they're just hanging around in that regard, then you got to believe that in the last 5 minutes of a ball game, they're going to cut it down to one or two possessions and be right back in it. That's been their bread and butter, not just in this series, but throughout the entire playoffs. It's what they do, and that's propelled them to now have a 2-1 lead against the Thunder at home going into game number four.
Yeah, it's really like an quantifiable stat of how good Tyrese Halliburton is at the end of games. Like, I listened to Scott Van Pelt's podcast, and like, they were breaking that in. Like, there's maybe never been another player who has been that high of a success rate late in games that Tyrese Halliburton's been. It's crazy.
We're going to continue our NBA Finals conversation in our next segment. We'll preview game number four. What do the Thunder need to do to get back in it and even the series at 2 games apiece? And what kind of pressure is on their shoulders in this game number four? We'll get into that in our next segment. Don't forget, later on this hour, Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, will join us to talk all about what's been going on with the Kansas City Royals. That's coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Max Power producing, TJ Cleveland to my right. I'm Tommy Caster, Sports Daily. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, in for Jacob Albrecht, Max Power producing the program. Later this hour, our Royals insider Jalen Thompson will join us. That's What's on Tap, and What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. TJ, let's continue our discussion about the NBA Finals, Game 4 coming up this weekend, the Thunder and the Pacers. And, you know, I know that the Pacers absolutely believe in themselves and where they are right now with a 2-game-to-1 lead at home going into Game 4. But I think a lot of folks are surprised about this, including the Thunder, and I don't think they expected to be in this position. How do they bounce back from this? How do they get this series even at 2 games apiece?
Yeah, you know, you just have to think that they've got the, you know, NBA MVP on their team. You know, he's going to have to play a huge role. You know, I think he scored 24 in Game 3. So you're going to have some stellar performance on the road, because I agree. I mean, the fact that the Pacers have shown that we can beat you on the road and we can beat you in our home place, and they've just been playing so well. Like, they've got all the confidence in the world heading into this game. So it's going to take basically, for lack of a better term, it's going to take a shove from the Thunder to just get this thing back to Oklahoma City tied up and not go down 3-1. Because I think if the Thunder win this game, they can win the series. I think if Thunder lose this game, they can lose the series. Like, that's how big of a game this will be tonight.
It's wild to me. You mentioned this before the break about how everybody they have just congratulated the Thunder and pointed all season long to how this team plays like a team and they play like a unit and all of that. And then Indiana has come in and they've done the exact same thing and they've done it extremely well. But on top of that, I've been very complimentary for a long time about what the Thunder can do defensively. And they can just smother you and shut you down and turn the ball over and do all of that to their opponents. They've done it all season long. But yet again, Indiana is doing the exact same thing. Their defense has been stellar. They have turned over Oklahoma City. They have made it difficult on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're basically beating the Thunder at their own game.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, as I was saying, I didn't think the Pacers were capable of something like this, and they've just shown that they are. And like I said, you know, unless you watch the games, it doesn't make sense. Like, it really does not make sense how they're able to win so many of these games. But on paper, it's nuts. So it's going to be a huge one tonight. One thing that just baffles me, being a KU, K-State basketball guy, is the fact that Tyrese Haliburton is this good in the NBA.
I know.
It doesn't make any – like, I literally don't remember him being anywhere near this at Iowa State. So I'm a Suns fan. I remember the Suns took a Jalen Smith from Maryland, the pick before Tyrese Haliburton. And then to think about Tyrese Haliburton not only being an Iowa State guy, but to play for the Kings for a couple of years, like, literally, like, came out of nowhere to just random superstarness now.
How important is a incredible performance from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like in this game four? How badly do the Thunder need that? Because what the Pacers did so well in game number three was, yeah, we knew that SGA was going to get points, but he had to take a lot of shots to get them. And he didn't go to the free throw line a ton. That's his game, right? To draw contact, get to the line. That didn't happen quite as much. I mean, he had 24 points, but it was on 20 shots.
Yeah.
So it wasn't efficient whatsoever in game number three. The Pacers did a wonderful job in shutting him down. How essential is it that he bounces back in this game four?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Pacers' bread and butter. They know that that's what they want to do. They know that the Thunder just operates so well between with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, it's a tough pill to swallow to know that this guy has to win us the game and that the other team knows that this guy has to win us the game. So it's going to take something incredible, and it's going to be a hard task because, I mean, they're going to put as much pressure on him as they can. So, whether that be a huge scoring night or if he's going to be the facilitator to do it. But the Pacers have had the answer so far, so, I mean, it's literally going to take an MVP performance probably.
What do you feel like the Thunder need to do to feel comfortable in the fourth quarter? Like, do they need to have a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, a 25-point lead? Like, at what point do you start to feel like, okay, we've got this one in the bag, we've got this game in hand, the Pacers are not going to be able to come back, or is there a number? I mean, feel like you never feel comfortable until that final buzzer sounds?
I know, it just sounds so crazy. Like, if you would have been saying this 2 weeks ago, you'd be talking crazy talk, the fact that the Thunder can't feel comfortable with a 15-20-point lead in the fourth quarter. But it's just the compliment to the Pacers and what they do so well. So, whatever the number may be, you'd have to say like a 20-point lead feels like you'd win that game. But we've seen crazier stuff happen. As I'm saying, it's just going to have to be clutch play from the Thunder. They're going to have to do something pretty spectacular to get a win tonight because it's going to be a really tough spot. I can't believe that they're favored by 7 points. Like, the Pacers feel like the value pick by far in that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. I'm seeing a line anywhere between 6 and 7 points right now. I don't think that's a good touch at all. Like, I mean, I guess maybe taking the points is probably the way to go, but I could see it wildly going in either direction, honestly.
I wouldn't be picking 6.5 points, but if you think Thunder are going to win, I mean, they're probably going to have to win by that many points. So, it's going to be awesome. I'd probably pick Pacers money line if I was betting on this game, but all my assets are currently in Scottie Scheffler. So,
hey, by the time the U.S. Open is over, you'll still have maybe two more games in the NBA Finals.
Maybe game six will be getting ready to go.
You can play some bets there. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that the Thunder have a real opportunity here to be able to say, look, like, we're tired of this. We are the more talented team. We've got the bigger stars. We execute better. Like from top to bottom and from start to finish, they can reassert themselves and take back control of this finals. But you know what? If they let it slip in the game tonight, and of course you're on the home turf of the Pacers, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be an electric atmosphere in Indianapolis. If they let that one slip away, it's that much more difficult to try to win three in a row to win an NBA Finals. I'm putting you on the spot. Who wins game four?
I think the Thunder can get one. I think that they can. I think they're good enough to go win a game on the road. I think it will be an awesome performance. It'll be a really great game. This might be the best game of the finals that we'll see, but I'll pick Thunder tonight.
Will this series go to a game seven?
No. Thunder in six.
So you think they'll win three in a row tonight?
I think if they can win this game, they'll get back home and they won't lose. I guess, never mind. NBA is different, isn't it? They do 2-2, 1-1-1.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take back that. It's going seven then.
Going to go seven games. But you're still going Thunder.
From here on out, the home team will win every game.
You're going Thunder, though.
Thunder in seven.
Okay. Wow. Well, interesting. Well, game four is tonight. I'm glad that we don't have to take multiple days off to get this game four. That frustrates me so much.
It used to be so much. Whenever the Suns were in the finals, because that was like the best year watching NBA in my life in 2021. They did it more than I've ever remembered because, I mean, it was like a day off in between and then travel days were 2 days off in between. Yeah. It's unreal how long they stretched the NBA playoffs. Like, the NBA playoffs are the best part of the NBA by far, and they stretch it out. When did it start? April?
Yeah, I mean, it started a long time ago. Yeah. What's wild about the whole thing, I can understand travel days and having some time off in between if you're, going back and forth. But the fact that it was like a 2 or 3 day gap between games one and game two, they're both teams are in Oklahoma City.
I know.
Play game two. You don't have to travel. What are you doing?
The MLB does it the best way of just playing back-to-back days, then you travel, then you play back-to-back days, then you travel. So, I don't know. It's madness. It's a crazy sport, and they know. Like, I can't, like, it's unfathomable that there's NBA players that haven't played a game in 2 months since they've been eliminated.
I know.
Like,
I think it was also a missed opportunity going back last weekend that they didn't play a game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like, you had a prime viewing opportunity on a Saturday evening. Yeah.
They
didn't play until I forgot that game two was happening on Sunday night.
Yeah. It is a crapshoot. My wife loves watching basketball, so she asked me all the time, is there a game on tonight? I said, Gabby, I don't know. I don't know when the games are.
No,
I'm so confused. Yeah. Between that, between the NBA doing the play-in tournament now, too, that's the other part of this that over half of the league now gets into the playoff. Like, well over half of the league gets into the playoffs now. Like, they know that, like, the viewership doesn't really matter until it hits April, and then they go crazy.
I got to know, kind of switching gears here a little bit, because you referenced it a few minutes ago. I got to know about your U.S. Open bets. What do you have going on?
I'm not letting myself deposit more money in my account, and all I had left, because I've lost every single dollar on Jack Heglio not hitting a home run yet. I've betted every game, and I have just swung and missed.
You're gonna ultimately end up being homeless. And
I know.
All. I mean, you're
gosh,
gonna just
dude, I
drain
love,
your bank
I,
account.
I like to think that Jack Heglio might be one of my favorite baseball prospects of all time, and he's just quickly just fallen from my good graces because he's lost me so much money on this. I only had one bonus bet left from a no sweat, and so I just did Scotty to win, Bryson top five, and just took the safest parlay that I could between those two. And I'm just gonna need some of the superstar gravity, you know what they call whenever they eventually catch up. I just need that to happen and do what they usually do, and we'll be okay.
Well, let's check in on Scheffler and the rest of the
He's
field in the U.S.
today.
Open right now. One under today, two over overall for the tournament. Scheffler is through five holes here early on. Some of the other notables, so Brooks Koepka, we talked about him a little while ago. He, at the time, was three under and one under for his day, only one shot off the lead. He has bogeyed a hole, so he has dropped back down to two under, two strokes back. That's what a U.S. Open will do for you. We talked about it a little while ago on the program, that it's a battle of attrition. It is a grind through four full days. J.J. Spahn obviously continues in the lead at four under par. He won't tee off until about lunchtime. Thurston Lawrence as well, he's three under. He won't tee off until after lunch. We talked about Brooks Koepka. Siwoo Kim is two under par, two back. Victor Hovland, Ben Griffin, and Thomas Dietrich are all one under par. There are currently 7 golfers out of the entire field that are currently under par. Everybody else is either even or over par so far. That's what a U.S. Open, again, will do to you.
I'm waiting for the Scotty nuclear round that we're going to see on Saturday or Sunday, because it's just bound to happen. That's what I always tell people. Like, every year when we get to the U.S. Open, everybody always freaks out about the course and tells you it's going to be the hardest of all time. And then it's just always bound for one superstar to just have an absurd day, shoot a 64, and just, it's like, yeah, okay, it's fine.
Let's talk about a couple of the golfers that, as of right now, are in danger of missing the cut. Right now, the projected cut is four over par. Jason Day is five over par. Patrick Reed is five over par. By the way, did you follow what happened with Patrick Reed yesterday?
Albatross?
Had an albatross.
That is unbelievable.
Had an albatross, and then he had a disaster to end his round.
Did he really?
And he ended up, I think he finished his, I think it was three over par. Overall, and he had an albatross on
the albatross. That was an unreal albatross too, because that was one of the mega par fives.
It's,
like,
it's wild.
I can't imagine. Have you ever gotten even close to an albatross? Like, I can't imagine what the feeling is like to make an albatross.
I did in a scramble. So I don't even know if that counts.
Yeah,
I did, and that was actually like a couple of weeks ago. I was playing at Rolling Hills, and we used my drive, and we had, like, it was a par five.
Yeah.
Had 235 yards left of the pin. I hit a 3-wood. To about 18 inches.
Nice.
And had a tap-in eagle. So we used my ball the entire time. It was a scramble. So
my favorite story. Well, we're talking about golf. We'll let the viewers in on this. So Brandon Zinner, other Sports Daily guy, we were in Kansas City covering the Royals playoffs last year. And we stayed up there the entire week, and we brought our clubs. We played Dubs Dread up there. I got there. Our tee time was like at 8:10. Brandon accidentally set his alarm for 7 p.m. instead of 7 a.m. So I sat there 20 minutes late for our tee time, just trying to stall. He eventually showed up, still had his, like, tennis shoes on, a hoodie, just teed up the ball because we had, like, people starting to wait on us. Teed it up, sliced it left into the trees, couldn't find it, had to take a drop on hole one, and then holed out from 240 yards for an eagle with a 3-wood.
He holed out from 240
yards? It would have been an albatross, and he's like, that is the stupidest eagle of all time because I had to rush my tee shot. Oh, he's so mad.
That is wild. That's a hell of a story right there. I'm going to have to give him a hard time for that.
It was unreal.
So Patrick Reed, Jason Day, both 5 over par in danger of missing the cut. Dustin Johnson is 6 over par. So is Tony Finau. Those guys are in danger of missing the cut as well. Justin Rose, 7 over in danger of missing the cut. Shane Lowry, Justin Thomas is 11 over par right now. He's through. He's on hole number 8 right now in his second round. He's 5 over for the day. Yeah. He was 6 over yesterday, 5 over so far today. I would imagine he's probably not making the cut.
I think that was the shot that I showed you. As soon as we got on the air, I turned on the U.S. Open on my computer here, and I think I saw Justin Thomas hit a ball about 6 inches out of the rough. So that must have been that hole.
Yeah, that's the way I usually look when I'm playing a regular golf course. Yep. You know, so I guess it's kind of like, hey, they're one of us now.
Yeah, I imagine the rough is comparable to a McDonald golf course. Whenever I can't get out of that, I'll just blame it on the rough like the golfers will this weekend.
Yeah, you just go out there, you're like, man, this is a lot like Oakmont.
Yeah.
This is identical to the way that Oakmont plays.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun weekend, a fun day, and all of that. By the way, happy early Father's Day to all the dads out there. I know a lot of dads that just want to watch the U.S. Open and be left alone.
Sure.
And I'm actually maybe one of those fathers.
Maybe.
So happy early Father's Day to all the dads out there. Before we take our break and get ready for Jalen Thompson in our next segment to talk Royals, it's a Friday, TJ, so it's our Friday fit with our friends over at 3570 Golf Co. You'll notice I'm rocking the 3570 Golf Co. hat today. These guys, Katie and Dan Winters, who own 3570 Golf Co., they're a locally owned golf apparel company. All their designs, their shirts, their hoodies, their hats, their golf head covers, all of their apparel and items and accessories, they're all designed for this part of the country, for the heartland, for the Midwest, all of that. And so their designs invoke that. You can check out their entire selection on their website at 35x70golfco.com. By the way, if you're going to be out at the Wichita Open, 3570 Golf Co. will have a pop-up shop out at the Wichita Open, so you can check out their apparel in person, check out their selection of everything that they've got. And of course, you can always go onto their website and check out all of their designs, 35x70golfco.com. If you go on their website and check out their selection, use the promo code Tommy, T-O-M-M-Y, and you'll get 10% off your first order. I've got a couple of hoodies. I've got some shirts. Obviously, I've got the hat that I'm wearing. Very comfortable stuff, very durable, looks sharp. And so you can check out, again, their entire selection at 3570golfco.com. Are you a golf fashion guy? Like, do you get into that sort of thing?
I do as much as the budget will allow. I'm definitely a big logoed guy. I love random college logos. So that's usually my go-to, is I just wear a shirt that has some random college logo or professional sports logo on it. But I do appreciate a good patterned golf polo.
I like that. I made the mistake one time to Jacob, of calling what I was going to be wearing to golf an outfit.
I know. I was like, in this conversation.
I was like, this is my golf
outfit. It was my first time playing Crespi. I didn't know what I was supposed to wear. I had to ask questions.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with me saying that I've got my golf outfit, and he just let me have it.
That's one of the best parts of golf, is that you feel like a pro in the morning because you're getting everything.
Absolutely.
You got to look nice if you're going to a nice golf course. Man, that's the best feeling, is you got a nice golf polo, Titleist hat on, cup of coffee in hand, and ready to go to the course.
It's the only time I lay my clothes out the night before, and like I try to color coordinate and like figure out exactly what I'm going to be wearing. And so yeah, I've got no shame in referring to it as an outfit, because that's what it is. I picked out my golf outfit. You know, meanwhile, Jacob is rocking Hawaiian shirts on Wednesdays. He's like one step away from knee-high socks and sandals.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to let that guy make fun of me as far as what my wardrobe choices are. But go online, 35x70golfco.com, and check out the entire selection of the great golf apparel made for the heartland in this part of the country. We really appreciate their support of the program. And like I mentioned, again, if you're out at the Wichita Open, make sure to stop by and check out their pop-up shop, because they've got all their great apparel out there that you can buy there on the spot. I've also seen some of their selection at some area golf course pro shops. So you can definitely get out there. I know Flint Hills carries some 3570 Golf Co. apparel and some other courses too. We're going to try to get connected with Jalen Thompson here as the segment rolls on. But let's shift back to the Royals, TJ, while we wait for Jalen, and we can segue right in once we get Jalen here connected with us. It's a big series. It's an important series for the Royals. Every series is from here on out. But the fact that they got embarrassed by the Yankees in 3 games, they're taking on an Athletics team that they should believe they're better than, that they're more talented than. And you're back at home and they've not performed well at home lately. You've got to salvage this homestand. I know it might be unrealistic of expectations, but I really feel like you got to go in there thinking we can sweep this team. We should sweep this team and we should get back to 500, at least in this homestand, and over 500 overall.
Yeah. That's the thing is that, you know, those Yankee series are important. But if you can't get a series against the A's, that means that those Yankee series become even more important. As we've talked about, as Jacob's made the point so many times, is that they are in a tough stretch of their schedule. Like the weeks that they went on the winning streak, I mean, they kind of beat up on teams that were below 500. Like they don't have back-to-back series against below 500 teams for like over a month. Like they play a good team and then a bad team and then a good team and then a bad team over and over again. So we got the Yankees, now we get the A's. You have to take care of the A's to take pressure off of those Yankee series. So the fact that they didn't get a single game against the Yankees puts more pressure on this A's series to get it done. And these are the ones that you have to get it done for. If you can't get these done, then you're absolutely not a playoff team.
We did get a video question from our buddy Jason, and we'll ask Jalen this if we're able to get connected with him. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you, TJ, given that the division is so tough and KC is not finding traction, are they better off selling assets like Bubic and Cameron now before the value dips? Or is that crazy to think about?
I agree. That's what the point that I brought up earlier in the show is that I think that they should. If they can't get to within four games first in the division, if they can't get to third place in the division, I'll just say that by time it's deadline time, they need to trade. They probably need to trade Bubic, honestly. Like, Bubic's value is the most it's ever been. It's probably the highest that they've had for a pitcher in literal years, a starting pitcher in a long time. And you can get the outfield bat or whatever bat you want to get for an offense that really needs it and just get a young guy to whatever you want to get, honestly. You can get prospects, but I'd honestly rather have somebody that can kind of contribute in the next couple of years, maybe even this year, because you're still not going to be completely out of the hunt. But I do think even if they're on pace to just teeter with the wild card, I'd still think about trading Chris Bubic, because what he's doing is so good and he's not shown anything that can be sustainable, that I would strike while the iron's hot and get something.
I guess my question becomes, what would you be looking for in return? Like, what's the point? What's the point in moving these guys? My answer, Jason, to your question is, if you do move an asset, and you gave the examples of Bubic and Cameron, I would be more inclined to move Bubic than Cameron. Yeah. Like, Cameron's controllable for longer term. You know, Cameron has also shown that he could be a future young star in the big leagues. I'm not sure why you would want to necessarily move him, you know, especially with him being under team control for a while. So if you're going to move either one of them, I would say Bubic over Cameron. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get more for Bubic right now anyway because of the way he's been pitching this season.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if Bubic continues the tear that he's on, he's going to get a payday, and the Royals can't afford to pay him because they're locked down on Bobby Witt Jr. They're going to be locked down on Jack Caglione if he starts figuring his bat out. You know that he's going to get a big payday whenever that day comes as well. So they're going to be bound to have money on the books that they're going to have to pay. Michael Garcia is going to get a big contract if he continues this up. He's their best hitter basically this year. So you can't afford to have that many stars, so you have to strike while the iron's hot. So if he gets good, you might as well get compensated for it now, especially if he's not going to be in a position to really help a team that can't help him, you know, with as bad as the offense has been. So, but it's a great point of who would you go get? Because if you get somebody to help this year and you don't make the playoffs, it doesn't do anything. If you get a prospect, you know, you're just kind of playing the game of, you know, who are they going to turn out to be? But the devil's advocate of that is, you know, the Royals got Aroldis Chapman for a year, flipped him, and got Cole Reagans. So,
right.
I don't know. You know, sometimes don't mess with happy, but at this point, you know, I think something's got to give. You just can't be okay with having the best starting rotation in all of baseball and nothing to show for it.
You know, I brought this up yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It was whenever the Royals announced that Cole Reagans was going back on the IL. And Jacob is very concerned about Reagan's number one and the rotation number two, because you've got Reagan's on the IL, and then you've got the question mark about how sustainable can the success from the rotation be. I want to get your take on this. I actually felt a little relieved that Cole Reagan's went to the IL because he had pitched so poorly.
Yeah.
And I would rather it be, yeah, he's dealing with an injury right now and he's not fully healthy, as opposed to he's just a bad pitcher now.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely an interesting thing to think about, the trajectory of the way his pitching career was going to what it's been this year. It has really been a step back of what we saw last year, or even earlier this season, of how good he was, and whatever, the 11 strikeout game and stuff like that. So the good news is that the opposite of the Jack Caglione situation is the fact that Cole Reagans doesn't need to be all that awesome, because the rest of the pitching staff has been so good, and they've been so good that he can take time to figure out whatever it is that's going on. So you don't rush it at all, especially if this Royals team isn't going to be good enough to make any noise later this year. You don't rush that, because he's a guy that's going to be pivotal for if they do something next year, or if they do something later this season and make a playoff push. He's going to be an arm that you're going to need, because every arm matters. And the good news for the Royals, I will say this while I keep dogging on them, is that if they find a way to make a kind of playoff push, they've got the pitching to do what you need to do in October. Like, that's always the hardest part, is finding the pitching to throw that many games, because you play so many games on back-to-back days, and then you know your bullpen gets taxed. You need to have guys that can go seven innings into games. The Royals have that. They just need to find the offense to counterpart that.
I guess the good thing about this upcoming weekend series for the Royals is that it can be somewhat of a palate cleanser. The A's are not playing good baseball right now at all. They got off to a pretty good start to start the season, but they have slumped really badly. In fact, it's a miserable 14-game skid on the road for the A's. They have lost 14 straight road games. They cannot win on the road. And not only have they lost 14 in a row on the road, they've been outscored 111-40 in that 14-game road stretch right now. If they lose tonight against the Royals, that will match the franchise's 15-game road losing streak from 2 years ago. And that's the worst that the team has had in their history on the road. So I guess that's the good news, I want to say.
You're telling me is that I'm taking A's money line tonight. That's the most Royals thing ever.
I mean, you could probably get some good value.
Exactly.
I don't even know what that is.
If there's a team to break a slump against, it's the Royals right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think that's the risk, right? If you're going to take that bet, just because, yeah, the Royals aren't showing that they're, you know, doing anything of note either right now. Michael Wacha is going to be on the bump tonight for the Royals, taking on Luis Severino. And, you know, Severino has been average, mediocre, somewhere around that range, of 4.77 ERA. He's got a bad win-loss record, but he's not getting a whole lot of support from his team. He's 1-6 on the season. And Michael Wacha has pitched well so far this year. He's got an ERA that hovers right around 3. He hasn't gotten a ton of run support either. He's 3-5 overall. Michael Lorenzen will go on Saturday afternoon, and then Noah Cameron back on the bump for the Sunday getaway day game before the Royals head to Dallas to take on the Rangers next week. We don't know who the A's pitchers are going to be outside of tonight's game with Severino, but you would think at least that the pitching matchup, at least right now, favors the Royals. Advantage Royals, at least for tonight's game with Wacha on the bump.
I mean, you can make that argument against every team in the league, basically, with the way the Royals have been pitching. So definitely agree. You know, they're going to be the favorites in every single one of these games. They need to find a way to win. They need to find a way to win all the games, basically. You know, Rangers are another series next week that is probably attainable to go get, but it's a tough series there as well, going on the road. But apparently the Royals are better on the road than they are at home. So, yeah.
There are few teams in the American League that you can look at right now in the middle of June and say they're out of the playoff race. And the Athletics are one of them. The Athletics are 18 games under 500. They're not coming back. They're not making the playoffs. They're not very good. And so when you take on those teams, when they're on your schedule, you have to take advantage of it. And especially considering, and I'm just going to call it for what it is, the embarrassment that the Yankees series was, you've got to wash that bad taste out of your mouth. That has got to be the message from Matt Quatrero to the team going into this weekend series. We've got to wash the bad taste out of our mouth. We've got to make sure that we're taking care of business at home. And I know that probably 2 of 3 is more realistic, but the way that the A's have been playing, you got to think you should win every single one of these games this weekend.
Yeah, here, before I got a question now as we wrap up here. Yeah. People were talking about that Yankee series, all of the Jazz Chisholm drama and everything like that. The fact that, you know, you think about that. You think about the Contreras slide in that I-70 series when he took out Jonathan India at second base. And the fact that the Royals haven't done anything about that, which it's Major League Baseball. I'm not saying that people need to get in fistfights all the time, and I don't really care about any of that stuff. But a lot of people on social media are saying that this Royals team just, like, isn't showing, like, the heart of, like, the 2015 team, like, those kind of Royals teams, some of the really good teams across the league, like, who do you think, like, the vocal leader of the Royals is? Because right now on social media, people are saying there isn't one.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Salvi just because he's the veteran.
Yeah.
But Salvi is more of a, like, come give me a hug kind of guy, as opposed to, like, the fiery leader, right? Uh-huh. I mean, who's the most fiery guy on the team? Is it Michael Garcia?
It's probably Vinny.
Okay, yeah, probably Vinny and Garcia are probably the two guys that are probably the most fiery.
Yeah.
Jonathan India is scrappy, but he's not super fiery.
They just got a bunch of likable guys, which is a good thing. But there's different ways to lead, I think, and so I'm not going to sit here and criticize the Royals for any which way or the other. But there's definitely an argument to be made that everybody's making on social media about the fact that they're slumping so bad because they've just got a bunch of guys that, I don't know, like, aren't lighting a fire, which I don't know. Well, obviously, that's kind of just anecdotal stuff, so I don't know if there's any truth to that at all.
You also have a manager who I like. I like Matt Quatrero. I think he's a good baseball mind and a good manager. But he's not super vocal and outspoken and all of that. I saw him get angry during the White Sox series last weekend at one point, and he went out and he argued. But it was fairly tame, and he didn't get tossed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of like, all right, you need to kind of light a fire. Like, you know, managers do that sometimes where it's like, I'm going to go deliberately get myself thrown out of the game to show my team this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And that we're probably at that stage right now with the Royals, I would think.
It's interesting because, you know, I don't think that there's any need to, you know, any Augie Garrido type of, you know,
well, right,
anything like that. But I don't know. They're
you don't
definitely
need to pull a Lou Piniella and pull the base out and throw it. You know, like, that's not what they're
doing. I don't know. Like, because there's an argument to be made, I feel like, but there's also, I think it basically just boils down to the fact that, like, the Royals just got swept by the Yankees. You know, they haven't won a series in quite a bit of time. You know, the offense has been struggling. Like, they're just a team that doesn't have a lot of fun going on. Like, there are a bunch of guys that like to have fun, and the team just hasn't been fun. I think that really dives yourself into a slump as well.
Well, if you're going to try to find a time to have some fun, it should be this weekend against a scuffling A's team. Royals aren't playing much better right now, but you can get things right pretty quickly. The first pitch tonight, 7:10. We've got all the coverage this entire weekend right here on KFH for the Royals and the A's. All right, that's going to wrap things up for a Friday edition of Sports Daily. TJ, not only is the U.S. Open going on right now, but you've got yourself a good weekend of golf planned to go out and play, right?
I got 36 holes coming up this weekend. Going to play some golf, going to watch some golf, and then going to go talk on TV, I guess. Got to work.
We'll recap the U.S. Open on Monday. We'll also recap the Royals series against the Athletics. As a reminder, all three games this weekend, tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and Sunday afternoon, you'll be able to hear right here on KFH. For Max Power, for TJ Cleland, I'm Tommy Castor. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.